Blog Talk Radio.
I listen to everything, and not just to the music itself, but to the hearts behind it. Hi, this is Sunday Brunch, the first and last song on Block Talk Radio on Creator's Parrot Channel. Today is Sunday, April 18th, and I'd like to welcome everyone. I'd like to tell you I'm Valerie Michelle Oliver. I don't know if I said that. I'm the producer and the host of Sunday Brunch. I'd like to welcome all the listeners, fans, and supporters for today's guest, who are Eleonora Amendolara, who is also the guest co-host, Brenda McIntyre, and Olia Long. And I'd also like to welcome any BTR hosts, or Creators Parrot fans and followers from Blip FM, Facebook, Twitter, IM Radio, Reverb Nation, SOAC, MySpace. That's a lot, isn't it? And my family and friends that may be listening today. So welcome to everybody. And today's show is a special show. Our topic for today, and usually we don't do topics, but this is a topic show. It is called The Healing Power of Sound and Music. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Also, I'd like to let you know that today's show is dedicated to Anna Vasquez. Anna was a woman who died recently and was a vital and loved member of the Newburgh Artist Salon here in Newburgh, New York, of which she was a co-founder. The Artist Salon actually had people participating in the arts beyond Newburgh, beyond the various counties in Lower Hudson, in the Lower Hudson Valley where we live in New York State. And Anna, you're definitely going to be missed. So this show is dedicated to you today. I'd like to let people know how you can access the show. You can call, use the call-in number if you'd like to listen to the show that way, or you want to call in and speak with one of the guests later, or let us know your experiences regarding sound and music. That number is area code 347-202-0238. Excuse me there, I had to take a swallow. Again, that number is area code 347-202-0238. You can also access the show by going to blogtalkradio.com/Creator's Parrot. And then you can select the show for today. And if you would like to speak to me or the guest co-host or any of the guests, and you have Skype and you have built-in speakers or microphone in your computer, or you have a headset, there's a button for Skype on the page. So you can press that Skype button and you would show up in my switchboard. All righty, so definitely, you know, if you have Skype, you can use it, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's a free call, as far as I know. Also, I also wanted to let people know that I did open up the chat room, although I'm going to have limited access to the chat room today because I'll be working the switchboard. Certainly feel free to go in and talk about anything you want to talk about in the chat room. As I can, I'll pop over and type things in there if I need to. Also, if you have any questions for the guests, make sure you type those questions you don't want to call in. And I will, you know, bounce over and look at the chat room. Also, I'd like to invite any of the guests for today. If you're in the chat room, feel free to bring up a question if you see one in there that I might miss. Okay, so now I'm going to move along to a special portion of the show that I've been doing every week since the disaster in Haiti. I've been dedicating a song to the healing for the people of Haiti and for the land, for the island. And the song that I'm going to play today for that dedication is a song that was written by one of our guests today, Aaliyah Long. And that song is called, or the song is called, All a Matter of Circumstance. And the essence of this song is, it's time to take a stand, save the motherland, what will you choose? So here we go. All a Matter of Circumstance by Aaliyah Long, dedicated to Haiti.
Inside of you, you see it's all a matter of what you do. Thank you.
Matter of Circumstance by Aaliyah Long, dedicated to the healing of Haiti. All right, again, you're listening to Sunday Brunch, the first and last song on Creator's Parrot Channel here on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a topic show today, which is the healing power of sound and music. And now it's 3:15. I'm the timekeeper, trying to keep things on schedule. So I'd like to introduce to you our guest co-host for today, who is Eleonora Amendolara. Now, I've known Eleonora for, I'm thinking about 4 or 5 years now. I just wanted to say a couple of things about her briefly before bringing her on. And she is a healer, and Eleonora is a teacher, and she's been described as an inspirational teacher. She's been described also as a person who is more than one in a million, but one in a lifetime in terms of the power and the effect that she has on people, both family and friends. She has 20 years experience as a health kinesiology practitioner. She's authorized to teach HK as a trainer. She's an expert in balancing geopathic stress. She's well-traveled and has gained lots of experience and knowledge from a variety of different healers and herbalists and anthropologists, physicists, and cultures in Russia and Europe, Canada, Nepal, and South America. And for the past, within 20 years, I'm going to say, she has journeyed to the mountains and lagoons in Peru, in Cusco, Peru, which is known as the navel of the world. So she's very tapped in and connected to the Andes, the people of the Andes, and the spirituality there. Also, she is the founder and the owner of Sacred Center in Warwick, New York, and she has a school for the healing arts there. And Eleonora always integrates sound into her sessions that she has, her workshops, and her healing sessions that she has privately with individuals. So at this point, I'm going to go to the switchboard because I have her muted right now, and I'm going to go ahead and pull you into the conversation, Eleonora. Now I hit to take you off mute. Are you here with us now? Can you hear me?
Yes, Sal. Thanks a lot for that great introduction.
You're welcome.
That's a mouthful.
Well, to be one in a lifetime, I mean, I try to do the best that I can, and that's things that people have said about you. So
that's really wonderful. Yeah, I'm humbled.
Okay.
Yeah, so great to be on the radio show. This is only my second time doing talk radio, so I'm a newcomer.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll do just fine. So I'm going to ask you the first question that I like to ask all the guests, and that is, what is the first song you remember hearing, or the first song that had an impact on you in some way, shape, or form?
Well, I mean, early on, I went in church. I mean, of course, I remember the music of church in the choir. I belonged to, my parents were Russian Orthodox, Greek Catholic. So that sort of resonates in me. But the song that I remember earliest is I'm Off to See the Wizard, the Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And on and on and on. Yep.
Now, why do you think that song was so memorable? You know, as a child, I don't know what age you were, but there's out of all of the, I always think this, you know, out of all of the various songs that we were exposed to, you know, as young children, you know, why is it that song that you think had an impact on you? If you might want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I do think I was quite young, and I think it was just exciting. They were off to see some wizard somewhere, and I was right with them, you know, skipping along the Yellow Brick Road. It was just really memorable because of that.
Right. Okay, great. Yeah, that's a movie that many of us remember as children, and certainly the music from The Wizard of Oz is a big, actually, the song Over the Rainbow, I think, is the most popular song of all time or something like that.
Oh.
I remember reading a statistic about that, so... And that's for people around the world. So that's no surprise. You're fitting right in there with choosing that particular that particular song. So now I'm going to just move into the topic for the show this afternoon, which is the healing power of sound and music. Now, can you just talk a little bit about how you utilize sound in your practice and your trainings? You know, how do you use sound and what way do you use it? Give us a little bit of a background about that.
Well, in the sessions, we do healing work that helps the person de-stress and helps them regain their balance. And using certain sounds, really like downloads, the effects of the session into their body so that it goes in deeper and it has much more of a lasting effect, the healing session. And certain sounds also we use, like drumming for journeying, to try to help the client go deeper and deeper again into their subconscious so that they can see something that they've never seen before and become aware of something that needed to emerge. The sounds really center people, they de-stress people, they put them also in an altered state, which gets them out of their boxes of confinement, you know, their stress levels. It also actually helps with pain as well. So I think it's like extremely important. Vibration is what cells are made of, and so when you can affect the cells and the energy body with sound, you're really, the person is carrying the vibration of that for a long time, even after the session.
Okay, now this is something that came up when I was doing some research for the show. Now our bodies are made of energy, right? So we are made of light energy. Is sound, I mean, people think of sound as just sort of something that you hear. Does the sound have also a light to it? I know you see a lot. How would you describe, I know it might be a little difficult question to put into words, but how would you describe the physicality of sound? Because I know when you look into people's body, you see energy. You see what it looks like. Does sound look like, our bodies, are our bodies sound as well? I hope I'm making sense.
Well, it's vibrational. So when there's a sound, you can see the energy like ripple out, almost like when you drop a pebble into water. And, you know, everything in the universe has vibration. The original vibration, they say the sound was Om. And, you know, in Peru, there are certain healers there that when you say, check out the energy, say, of a stone, they put it up to their ear. They want to hear it. So you can hear stones. And, so it's definitely a tactile, visceral vibration that sound has. That's why there's a lot of scientific research now that says that sound actually fills the cell walls and actually affects the physical body as well as, you know, the energy bodies. So it's an exciting thing to use. And people, you know, when people need, say, a certain sound into their, say, heart chakra, when you play a bowl that tunes to that, the heart is an F sound, like it, you'll just feel, and the person will feel too, that they suck in that F, that sound, that vibration. So whatever the person needs, when you play a sound and they need that sound, they'll just like suck it right into their aura. So it's really it's quite something. And actually, certain sounds too we use to call in guides and spirits as well. They're like sort of open gateways to other realms, like bells and bowls and rattles and all kinds of sounds.
Wow, that sounds exciting, especially that part about opening up to other realms, you know, using a sound to call in a guide or to go into another realm. You know, I thought it was very important to make sure that people understand that sound affects us on every level. I just wanted to make sure that I'm correct about that. It affects us on a physical level, on a mental level, emotional and spiritual, all of the levels. Ethereal, astral, I mean, there's so many, and it affects all of them. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And, I mean, the medical community is using sound as well. So there's presently a lot of research going on about it. So it's definitely, you're definitely right on.
Okay, now I know that you work with a variety of different sounds, and you've provided a number of clips for me to play. And I'm going to... I guess, kind of go down the list here for what we have time to listen to, and I'd like you to just tell us a little bit about the particular sound, how you might use this sound, or anything you want to say about it. Mm-hmm. And the first sound I'm looking at here is the cougar rattle. And tell us about the cougar rattle. How do you use that, and where did you get it?
You know, these things you don't get, they get you, really. So, yeah, the cougar rattle came to me from someone on who makes rattles on a website. That was, of course, by chance, but there are no, there's only synchronicity, so it was meant for me to have. But he uses skins that are remnants. He doesn't obviously kill the animals. So there was a cougar skin, and they're very hard to come by, that he had, and he made a few rattles. So when I got the rattle, I sort of let these instruments, sacred instruments, teach me rather than me use it. You know, I wait for that communication between me and the instrument where we're one. And whenever I use that cougar rattle, the cougars, the cats, come from all over, and they surround the client, and they sort of digest all of the residue of stuff that the client doesn't need anymore. So, you know, residue meaning just energy is very staticky too. So any static that doesn't belong in the energy field, the cougar comes along and helps the person digest stuff. You know, and Peru, they often never say positive, and they don't use positive and negative energies. They use heavy and light energy. So the cougars digest heavy energy and until it's light energy, and then it can just be dissolved. So it's quite profound for me, and I'm sure for the client too.
Okay, I want to play this, but before I do, I was wondering, in order for those benefits to take effect, do you have to be physically in the room with the person? Does the rattle have to be physically in the room with the person when you're playing it?
No, absolutely not. No, energy travels through space and time, just like I'm talking to you right now. I'm not in the room with you, but we're talking, so absolutely not.
So anyone listening to this, if there's a need that they have that the cougar rattle provides, they could benefit just from listening to it, whether live or whether in a podcast form. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, close your eyes and let the rattle take you somewhere.
Okay, well, I'm going to play. It's a short clip. It's 36 seconds. And here we go. Cougar rattle.
The one thing I didn't mention was it really helps in detachment from unhealthy attachments, entangled threads. So it's a good sound for that.
Okay, thank you. I've got another rattle here called the jungle rattle. So can you tell us about the jungle rattle? How is that different, the jungle, from the cougar?
Well, it's the place that it comes from. It comes from the Shipibo tribe down deep in the Amazon. And I think you should just listen to it and feel the difference yourself.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I can hear the difference. Now, which jungle does that come from? Does that come from the Amazon?
Yes, the Peruvian Amazon. Yeah, it's the deep mother, the deep earth. It's the grounding that people need. It's the root chakra. It's connecting a person with itself and the earth. It's a very it's what we need here in the West.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I want to move on to as many of these sounds as possible.
Okay.
The next one I'm going to go to probably I think is maybe crystal balls, because you meant bowls. You mentioned chakras. I also want, you know, people who are listening who are healers to hear as many of these as possible, and also any musicians or music professionals that might be interested in incorporating any of these into their own creations. So you mentioned the root chakra. There's a Tibetan bowl now for the heart chakra that I'm going to play. Do you want to say anything about that before I play the clip?
I'd say Tibetan bowls are amazing. I have quite a collection of them, and most of them are really old, and they have a very complex sound that helps unify and integrate all the different chakras together. Play it and people will just feel what it feels like for them.
Okay, so this is the heart chakra. Here we go. Okay, and I'm going to move on to the root chakra Tibetan bowl next. Thank you. And then there's one more bowl called the Grounding Integration Bowl. I want to get in here and play that. Here we go. Wow, that grounding integration bowl, I could feel that one, very deep and resonant.
I just wanted to say, in a healing session, after you've worked on a person and they've made some space, taken away some stress in their lives and made some space in their energy fields, the sound right after that just penetrates so deeply. It just penetrates right into this on a cellular level. I'm sure... You know, there. You know, everyone can hear that. So the sounds speak for themselves. They're handmade. These are really old bowls. They're handmade and they're made from bronze. And some of them have other metals in them as well. And they're very complex sounds. So they also affect when I was in the room with you and we were taking this together, we both noticed, me and Val, that they actually cleared the space and they created harmony in the room. So
this is good even for your home, for your house. There's certain bowls that can clear the space of negativity and harmonize. And you know, is it, you know, any bowl or is it specifically the grounding Tibetan bowl? Do you recommend which bowls or...
No,
how's that
absolutely
work?
No, because I'm a firm believer that these instruments come to you. You sort of make the intention that you want to receive a bowl, and then you'll find a bowl that wants to go to you. And so, you know, it's a holistic, a holographic universe. So even though you say this is a heart chakra bowl, you know, everything is everything. So you can use it for other things as well, you know.
You know, I'm thinking about people who are songwriters and you know, musicians that are listening to this show or will be listening to it in the future, and you know, wondering how specifically these might be useful. Now, I can talk from my own experience, which isn't a lot, but at the beginning and at the end of this show, there is a theme that's put together in which I play a Tibetan G-note bowl.
Mm.
And the G-note bowl, why do I play that at the beginning of the show? Well, because the vibration, the frequency, the energy of that is said to or is meant to work on what's called the throat chakra. It's supposed to make it so that truth is revealed, and it's meant to open up communication. So when I, you know, when you hear that at the beginning of the show, that is the intent of it. I'm trying to make sure that this is a space that is open for communication, that what needs to be said is said. And then at the end of the show, if I'm not running out of time, I also try and play it again to, you know, close that space out. It's like what is said here is sacred and precious. And that's what I'm trying to do. Now, if someone's working on a song and, you know, whatever the song, if it's a love song or if it's a, you know, if it's a song about spirituality or it's a song, you know, about having your heart broken and, you know, you're trying to get across a certain emotion, do you think that bowls or sounds would be helpful to use to make that intent occur?
Absolutely. Well, the bowl that you have resonates to a G, and G is the throat chakra. The first chakra is a C, then every chakra goes up, but the second is a D, the third is an E, the heart is an F, and the throat is a G. But of course, within that G, there are all other sounds as well. And they can actually just follow their intuition, or they can contact me, and I if they're really interested in the perfect sound for their music, I can definitely help them find that sound, both intuitively and through, you know, kinesiology as well.
Right. Let me just make sure that people know, because I'm not in the chat room, and usually what I would do is I would type in the chat room the website, but I'm going to go ahead right now and let people know, and I'm going to go in the chat room and type it in. Take a moment here. It is sacredcenter.net, and that is how you can reach Eleonora, who I call El. So if any of you musicians listening or, you know, would like to consult with her about what note would be best for a particular song or your intent, please go to sacredcenter.net and contact her. Also, Al, why don't you go ahead and give us your telephone number while we've got you on the phone here?
It's 845-987-7846.
Okay, that's 845-987-7846.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
So I'm putting that in the chat room now. Also, I'm just looking at some of the comments. Cindy in BC says they sound wonderful. Talking about the sound. So great, Cindy. Very happy that you think they're wonderful and that you're enjoying them and hopefully are benefiting from the sound. All right, so let's listen to some more. You have some bells. You have bells from Nepal, and you have bells called tingshas. So I'm going to play, I think, the tingshas first. They have to do with balance, so let's listen to these bells.
They're two small cymbals that when you sort of click them together, they bring this amazing sound that really breaks through all sound barriers. I use them in a couple of ways. I use them also to open doorways to other dimensions in the room and for the person. And I also use them to, if you scan the body with this sound, you'll see that it'll start to wobble because the sound is so clear that over a block or over a disharmonious organ, it'll start to wobble and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. So then I'll keep, you know, like scanning the body over and over again until the sound gets cleared. So it breaks, it frees up the energy and makes the person feel very, very alive. It also balances left and right, male, female. Up and down, it balances, the opposing forces in a person's energy field, too. Those are profound ones. They're old,
okay.
Very old.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, we're talking about balancing an energy field in a person. Is it possible, do you think, to do that in a song as well? Could you think, play a song or when you're working on a song, if you're having some difficulty and you feel that things aren't balancing with the music and you need some kind of way to do so, could you use those bells for that? Do you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure there are certain, I'm sure people can find CDs on some of these instruments as well.
Okay, I want to play Shaman's bells from Nepal. Do you want to say anything before I play this clip?
These are really interesting bells. I don't use them quite a lot because it really shakes people up. This really dislodges people. It reorganizes them. And actually, though, you put them across, you wear them around your body and you jump up and down, and they They also bring in the spirits that need to be there for healing. They clear the space, and they disarrange or disorganize a person's energy field so that you can rearrange it in a more orderly fashion that's more healthy.
Wow.
For the person. Yeah.
Oh, that is incredible. Being all rearranged energetically. So
yeah.
This is what these bells, so I'm going to go ahead and play them.
Okay.
Here we go. Jumping up and down. That's dancing and playing the bells. That's great.
That's
how you play them, right?
Yes, yes. You have to jump up and down.
Oh, that's great. You know, I was usually what I do is I read a couple of books before a show, and I look for quotes that have something to do with the show to sort of set things up. And I'm noticing that it's 3:45, and it's time actually for the interview with Brenda to begin. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind you, Eleanor, that you're going to be asking her the first question, you know, what is the first song you remember hearing? And then you can also ask any other questions that you have that come up during our conversation.
Okay.
And what I want to do first is also just to thank you for the sounds that you provided and talking about them and how you use them in your sessions and, you know, how we can use these particular sounds, whether they're for ourselves or, you know, for music or for the home. And that often these are things that come to us, whether we go out and look for them. We are drawn to them. We are called to them. I also wanted to ask you before going into the interview, you know, people have been making music since the beginning of time. Sounds have been happening since the beginning of time. And, you know, the entertainment industry and the music industry is so huge with so many different genres of music. And, you know, what is the purpose of making music? You know, lots of times people make music because they need to express themselves. They make music because, you know, they want to be superstars and they want to share, you know, who they are and what their beliefs are and feelings are with other people. But it seems as if today people seem to believe that there's a higher calling through music happening today. You have superstar people like Bono, even in the Beatles themselves. I don't know if many people knew this, but the Beatles, all four of them, were ministers. So it's not exactly new, but it seems to be stepping up a bit that people in music are wanting to really, really make a difference and have an impact in this world and on some of the changes that are happening. Do you see this from your world, from your perspective as well? Do you have a take on why this is happening, seems to be increasing today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that music and sound is the bridge between our linear intellectual life that we lead, busy life that we lead, and the unknown, the subconscious, the beyond space. And it's a bridge, and it's a non-language. It's non-language. It goes beyond language and culture. So I think that it's absolutely necessary in our day today because we talk too much and we think too much. And when we listen to music, we just experience, and that's what is the most spiritual and the most, I don't want to say spiritual, but I think that's the bridge that's more necessary now than ever before.
Okay, well, thank you for answering that. And what we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and begin talking to Brenda McIntyre. And I want to say, actually, I'm at Brenda's website now, and I was going to try to put together just a brief paragraph about her, but in rereading this this page that she has on her website about her life. I just feel I want to read as much of this as I can. So hang on, people, and we're going to talk to Brenda in a minute, but just so that you know a little bit more about her. She says here on this page about her, I never knew my difficult life was my training to be a healer. I had no idea I would even become a healer until I experienced a miracle in 2008. For many years, I carried a lot of pain, fear, and anger as a result of a childhood marred by family deaths, intense shyness, and depression. Adopted at birth and gifted with extrasensory abilities, I was very sensitive. As a child, I was shunned by most of my peers. I had zero self-esteem, and I felt no sense of belonging. When I was 15, my adoptive mother committed suicide, and shortly after that, my father died of a heart attack. I moved to Toronto in hopes of fulfilling my dream of becoming a singer and leaving my pain behind. Amazingly, I got a record deal within a year. I also became pregnant with my son. In a few years, I was winning awards, getting television appearances, and even interest from a major record label. But meanwhile, I was being abused and developing chronic health conditions. Already a single mom, I had another baby 10 years later, but this time, I was determined to make life better for me and my children. I went to a Native healing lodge for a few years, getting teachings, counseling, and a very special healing session. Now, in that session, I released emotional trauma from my childhood, found my voice, and called my spirit back to me all at once. My life got better and better, even amazing, but then in the winter of 2007, everything good seemed to end for me, except for one thing. I was overwhelmed with what I can only describe as an overflow of unborn songs sitting above my head like an overfull balloon about to burst. I couldn't even touch my drum or open my mouth without a new song instantly coming through me that winter. Just before spring equinox 2008, I asked Creator Source, what am I supposed to do with all these unborn songs? The answer was that the songs are coming to heal people. And with that, welcome to the show, Brenda. Are you here?
I'm here. Just what? Barely here today, but I'm here.
Yes, so I really, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, you were going to say something.
Yes, I wanted to thank you for appearing on the show today because yesterday you weren't feeling very well. And in fact, it sounded like you were feeling pretty rotten. and here you are today. So I'm very grateful that you're healed enough to be here with us.
Me too. Trust me too.
Okay. Now, you've been listening to the conversation that I've been having with Eleonora about music, and you know, I have this quote that I want to read. It says, "Music is appreciation of sound. All sounds are potentially music. When sounds are listened to and not merely heard, they become music." Is this true, that all sounds are potentially music? Do you have that belief as a singer-songwriter and also as a medicine song healer?
Yeah, I love that. That's something similar to what I tell people in my Sing Yourself Alive workshops, actually, is that, you know, when you're just talking, you're singing, because all sound really is. It's a song, and we are our own song.
Well, you know, I'm remiss. I have to take a step back because I'm supposed to ask. Actually, I was supposed to let Eleonora ask the first song question. Sorry, Eleonora.
It's okay. Hi, Brenda. So nice to be with you on Talk Radio. And what was the first song that you remember?
Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys.
Wow, that's kind of like on par with when we're off to see the Wizard. It's got similar in some strange way. Was that just an uplifting song that you remember?
Yeah, I think it I remember singing along to it, and I mean, I remember a lot of songs from the 70s growing up. I remember a lot of sort of uplifting. The ones that I remember were always uplifting, and that's probably because that's what I needed to hear. Because I was growing up as a child, I wasn't too happy. So when I heard something that made me really happy, then I would be singing it all over the place.
Right,
and that was
right.
One of those songs for sure.
Yeah, because in the 70s, there were all kinds of music, blues, soul, heavy metal, folk. So you picked the upbeat one.
Well, I didn't have that much choice and variety because where I grew up, there were pretty much top 40 or country. That was it.
And is that in Canada?
Yeah, in a small town in B.C., yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm anxious to hear what else you have to say. I'll just turn this back to Val.
Okay, and we'll come back to you shortly, Eleanor, for any other questions you might have after listening to the conversation.
Okay.
Just listening to what you were saying with Eleanor about the kind of music that you were listening to, I have in my hand a book here, Music and Sound in the Healing Arts by John, I think it's Bolow. And that quote I read earlier was also by him from that book, Music and Sound in the Healing Arts. About music is appreciation of sound, and all sounds are potentially music. Also in the book, he talks about, you know, when he was young and he was in a band, he says, we would play music to make people drink, fight, want sex, have visions, become sad, happy, inspired, spend money, and gain confidence. So when you were young and you were listening to music and you were trying to, I don't want to put words into your mouth. out of the various things that he mentioned, what would you say those things were that music did for you?
I think I listened to music to just get out of my headspace. And I knew when I was very young that I would become a singer when I grew up. I knew that was what I was going to do. So anything that I felt like I could sing with, and I think because I had a real sort of a different attitude as a child than everyone I saw around me, not to say everyone was evil or something, but most of the people around me didn't connect in the way that I did to the earth or to, I don't know, other people and energy. And I just, when I could hear something on the radio that was inspiring me, that was making me feel good, then that's what I wanted to listen to.
Right. You know, I was thinking about something someone said to me at a powwow once. I look at, earth objects as, you know, having energy and having power. And, there was a stone that I saw, and I picked up the stone, and I think I was, trying to figure out, you know, what is this stone about? You know, what are the properties or the energy of the stone? And then one of the elders came over to me and said, you know, sometimes a stone is just a stone. And I looked at him like, huh? You know, because sometimes a stone, Val, is just a stone. You know, like you don't always have to be looking for something special in every stone. And I was wondering, when it comes to songs and music, is a song just a song, Brenda? Or is there always something going on, you know, with a song?
I think there's always something going on, but what the something is, you know, it's not always going to be healing for you. It's not always going to be good for you. And sometimes you're going to need to hear something different than you normally would. But I, you know, and there's a lot of pop music on the radio, and I will get judgmental. I'll just let myself do it.
There's
a lot of pop music that's on the radio today that is just junk. It's just stuff that's pumped out by the record labels because it does a few of those things that you were mentioning earlier, like make people drink and want to have sex. So that is one of the reasons I don't, I won't gig in a bar. Like there's only a couple of times I have in the last few years, and it's been because it was a Haiti benefit or something like that, something that really meant something to me. But because when people are gathered in a bar, the bar owners get you in as a musician for one reason, to get people to drink. So I a lot of the music is created for that.
Okay, and that's something that each songwriter needs to decide for themselves, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I understand. I also have another quote that I wanted to read. This one's not from a book. This is from that old time rock and roll. It says, "Today's music ain't got the same soul." The kind of music that soothes the soul, right? So now there's all this, you know, even back then, he says, "Today's music ain't got the same soul." Has the music today, does it have more soul? You know, has it got more soul? Does soul stay the same? Does soul change? What do you think about that?
That's a really, really interesting question. I think it's both, because there a lot of the stuff that you hear on the radio, pardon me, courtesy of the major labels, is not necessarily that soulful. Some of it is, though. Some of it really is. And at the same time, there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of indie musicians that, pardon me, that are not on a major label, so you're not going to hear them on the radio unless they're incredibly, incredibly successful at marketing and getting into the commercial edge, because it's really hard to get yourself there as an indie musician. But so there's talent everywhere, and I really believe there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful music that is high, high caliber that we're just not hearing unless you're going somewhere like Blog Talk Radio or, you know, some of the indie stations. And there are quite a few of them blooming on the internet. I mean, tons of them. So if you look around, then you're going to find what you're looking for. You're going to find tons and tons of really wonderful music that is soulful.
Okay. You know, I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, as I'm sure, you know, many of us do. Yeah, my favorite happens to be jazz, particularly the bossa nova. And then I would say second classical, and then third, you know, all the rest of the different kinds of music. And, you know, it has been said that, and I talked to Eleanor about this at her house, that music is a universal language. And the question I asked her is this true? Is music a universal language? To me, what's a language is, when someone speaks a language, there's always someone trying to understand or to interpret that language in a way that has meaning, which is built on, you know, our culture, you know, where we come from and our relationships to certain words. And I wonder what you think about that. Is music really, is it best to describe it as a universal language, or is there another way that better represents what music actually is?
Well, I think in a way, yeah, because in a way, music will reach you in places that most things cannot necessarily reach you or can't as easily reach you. So even someone maybe who is just incredibly angry, and they're listening to really angry rap or like hardcore metal, that is, to me, would be, I couldn't listen to it. But the thing is, it depends on where you're at. It depends on, you know, where your headspace is at, where your energy is at, how you're feeling. That music can take you into a place that's a little bit higher for you, a little bit higher, and really soothe you, even if you're feeling, it doesn't matter what range of feeling you have, there will be a song you can listen to that can help you in some way. So I think, yeah, you know, and it connects us too. When you think about going out to a dance or something, you see how like, you know, hundreds of people on the dance floor dancing to one song, and it's unifying in a way and harmonious in another way.
Yeah, I was thinking about I saw a movie, I think it was called Cadillac Records, and it was about a record company in Philadelphia, I guess how the Philadelphia sound got started, and the blues. It was about the blues. And particularly, it was about Muddy Waters. And also, Chuck Berry, I forget the name of the record label right now, but there's a scene in the movie where Chuck Berry is on the stage playing, and it's in the segregation, I think it's in the South, and it's segregated, maybe not. But it was during the days of segregation, and there were, you know, all the black people on the one side and the white on the other, and there he was playing his, here we go again, rock and roll. And through his music, it broke the barrier. The kids would not stay separated. They tore down that rope. They got together and started dancing. They got up on the stage and started dancing. The police couldn't control them. And I thought, wow, look what music did. You know, what politicians had not been able to do. You know, in that particular instance, in that particular space. So is that surprising that music can do that? And do you think it's, you know, it can happen in our world in ways that we need to heal and catastrophic change that we need to have in our world? Do you think that's still possible? Maybe not exactly the same way that it happened with Chuck Berry, but do you see that as real?
Yeah, definitely. I see it as real, and I experience it all the time as that way. That's how I work with sound with my healing clients. It's reintegrating. I know it was touched on earlier too. Like you know, you can start at one place and you come in maybe to see a healer or whatever, or you listen to a particular song, and it can help reintegrate you in a way that is more beneficial for you. And you know, and Bob Marley did that within that political climate. There's a documentary that I remember watching years and years ago about that, where he got to the opposing sort of political forces in Jamaica to actually stand on stage while he was singing, mm-hmm. And his band was going along and you know, got them on stage, these two people who just hated each other, were completely against each other, to stand there and hold hands on
wow.
stage and actually, like, stand there for the whole song dancing sort of with them. And, yeah, like, the power of music is incredible if we let it be.
Now, I want to now go into talking about what you do through your practice, which is you do a lot of medicine song singing. And actually, I have a clip here of a song that you channeled in March 3rd, 2009, 3-3. We were talking about that earlier and laughing, 3-3. And I must say that when I was uploading the song for, 3-3, March 3rd, I went into my room to get a glass of water, and I glanced at the clock, and it was 3-3. You know, everything's happening the way it's meant to happen. So can you talk a little bit about, how you channel, music in the moment? And then I want to play this clip, which is a 10-minute clip, and I'm going to try and get most of it in. So if you would set this up for us and talk to us about, how this works for you, I'd appreciate it, and our listeners would too.
Sure. When I do a healing session for someone, it's usually by distance, and so you don't even hear it while I'm doing it, and then later on you will, because I send the recording. Basically, the song carries all the information and sort of the vibrations needed, the frequencies needed to help you to break up energy and to reintegrate it in the way that it's supposed to be. And while I'm singing, pardon me, I stand there in prayer. There's a whole ceremony that goes around this, so I'm being really simplified about it for the sake of time, but I do the opening ceremony, and it's kind of like the Tibetan bells, like or bowls, having something at the beginning and something to close. That's always present within everything I do. That's culturally what we do as Ojibwe people. And so once that's done, then I stand there and I just open myself. And it's really funny to imagine I can do that, because I couldn't even meditate for years. It was really hard for me to stop the shopping list and everything else going through my mind. But so And I also set up the client so that they can do that for themselves, give them some way to relax. And actually, I'm integrating something even better at the moment That should be released in a few weeks. But I open myself, literally just open myself, and I ask for a song for the person who I'm working with, and it comes. It's like you read in the story from my website, it comes. It's like it's sitting there already on the top of my head, which, as we know, is our crown. But it's interesting, isn't it, the words, oh, it just came off the top of my head. I remember thinking about that afterwards, going, wow, yeah, it is. It's like there's a cloud of songs right on top of my head, and they're always accessible, and they're always brand new. Some of them aren't brand new. Some of them are ancient, but not usually for the healing clients that I have. Those are new songs. So I'll sing the song until I get it, until I know it's done. And then afterward, I do more healing work. I use, funny you're talking about stones. I am so connected to stones and have been ever since I was a child. And I have so many stone friends around here. It's just crazy. And they do help me. I work with them for different clients. It'll be different stones that will speak to me and that I know I need to work with. And stones and crystals. And so I'll have this whole setup, and I use my hands. It's as if you, the client, is right in front of me. It's as if you're right in front of me in my healing room, and I'm working with your energy. But I'm not just working with your energy. I'm working with your whole entire being. Mm-hmm. So all of the layers of energy all at once, the cells inside you, everything. Like, it depends on what you're needing. And sometimes we don't know what we need, too. Client will come, oh, my knee hurts, or I don't know, I have issues with my hip or something, but then meantime I'm pulling something out of their heart center or something like that that shouldn't be there. So it depends on the situation, on the client. I had an amazing session recently with a young girl who had cancer, and she had had 80% of the tumor removed through surgery. I guess it was about 2 weeks before her relative came to me and asked me to help her. And so we set it up and did the session, and the family got involved as well. They wanted to meditate as well at the same time, so I gave them some suggestions how to really connect. And they got the result, and the whole thing's gone. Everything's gone. No cancer. So I was just blown away. And to me, it's, you know, see, it doesn't matter. It's true. It doesn't matter about distance. It doesn't matter. They can be thousands, and they are thousands of miles away, way far away from Canada. All I can tell you, it's like somewhere in Europe. So it doesn't matter where you're at, where, what location. Like, connection with energy is instant. It's just instant, and it's really, I think, a lot to do with intention, because I put a lot of intention into what I'm doing. And if I'm creating a song, the one that I'm trying to set, that I'm supposed to be setting up right now for you to play, that was during a week I was actually doing rehearsals every day, pardon me, for a really big show here in Toronto in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so every day at 11 a.m., I would channel a song, and that's one of those songs that was that week that I was channeling. So, and I invited everybody on Twitter to join in and listen, because listen with their bodies and with their energy and with, you know, by meditating and tuning in. And then they could listen afterwards after I uploaded it to Twitwall, actually. So
this is what we're going to be listening to now.
Mm-hmm. So you can just kind of relax into it. And the intention that I put out for that song was that it would just give you exactly what you need.
Oh, we can all use that, whoever we are, whether we're healing or healers or musicians or anyone. We can all use getting whatever we need. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. It's about a 10-minute song. And then when we come back, Eleanor, I'm going to let you ask any other questions you might have of Brenda, and then we're going to start speaking with Aaliyah Long. So this is the Healing Song channeled by Brenda.
So it's kind of neat. It's March 11th, 11-11. So you can close your eyes and open your eyes, you know, you can meditate and just watch whatever you want, whatever you're most comfortable doing. And if you need to stretch something, you feel like something tense, then I encourage you to do that.
most important thing is that you're comfortable. And if you have something that you really definitely know you need healing for, then put your intention out there that you're going to get that healing. Otherwise, you're just going to get whatever is in your highest state.
Hey.
good time coming out. So it's kind of neat. It's March 11th, 11-11. So you can close your eyes and open your eyes.
Okay. Wow, that's incredible. Let's see. Eleonora, if you have another question for her, one more, go ahead, and you can ask Brenda a question, and then we're going to shift into Aaliyah, who's been waiting very patiently, and you will ask her the first song question when we begin speaking with her. Go ahead, Al.
Oh, Brenda, that was great. Yeah, I really just have an observation and just sort of like a kinship with the kind of healing that I felt that you did as a woman, as a female medicine woman, in terms of like not really doing, but just holding space. The space just gets bigger and bigger and wider, and then what comes through is actually what is exactly supposed to come through. It's not so much about doing, but about just being the space keeper, you know. And I just one personal thing. I just long for more connection and communication with other women healers in the future, maybe getting together at some point to do and be with each other in some space. So
wonderful.
Thank you for that, Brenda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks very much, Brenda. You know, and actually what's going to happen, you're going to hang around and we're going to talk to Aaliyah now, and then I'm going to bring the three of you back together to ask you the last song question, and also if you have any questions for each other, if there's time, we'll try and do that. Also, if anyone listening has a question, now's the time to call into the switchboard. It's area code 347-202-0238. Okay, so let me make sure I can bring Aaliyah on to the switchboard here. Unmute you, Aaliyah. I want to say just a few things about Aaliyah, and I'm just going to read directly from the CD, since that's easiest and fastest. And that is that you, Aaliyah, are a visionary. You're a singer-songwriter. You're a performer and teacher who lives in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Hey, you live in the same town that I do, Newburgh in New York State. You explore sound vibration, breath, and recovering one's original voice, power, soul. And this has been a passion for many years for you. And the CD that we're going to play music from shortly is called Aaliyah Long in Full Circle, A Shamanic Journey. Before bringing you on, Aaliyah, I'd just like to say that I have listened to your music over and over and over and over again, because it just does something for me and my spirit. And I start singing those lyrics, and I feel like all powerful and all knowing, and I get into a different space. So I just want to thank you for that, and also to remind people that the song that I played at the beginning of the show dedicated to Haiti was a song called All a Matter of Circumstance that was written by Aaliyah. And so, Aaliyah, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Val. Thank you very much. Eleonora, Brenda, it is so wonderful to join you, and I've just been totally enjoying this show.
Oh, great, great, great. So glad to hear it, Aaliyah. Now, my first question for you, you're a singer-songwriter, as Brenda is, Eleonora not, and you've listened to everything that's been said thus far. Now, you're very successful in bringing in what you call the breath, you know, the sound vibration, the breath, a person's original voice, original power, original sound. I'd like to know how you did it, and could you share with any songwriters or musicians or other healers, how can they, you know, especially music industry professionals, become more aware of how they can do what you have done if they're indeed interested? How can they achieve these things that you have achieved?
Well, Val, we're talking about two separate things, I believe.
Okay.
The music that I channel and record, and In Full Circle is the result of that, is channeled as a healing tool. It's music that is channeled from my experiences, from work that I've done with shamans, and it is recorded almost. They're not songs that I work on. They're songs that grow from an experience, and then I immediately get with spirit and go into the studio, and I try to center myself in the energy of the conception of the song and do it. And infuse that song as fully as I can with the vibration of the moment. And as you were saying, you listen to it over and over, and there's something in it for you each time. It takes you deeper. Well, that's what the intention is, and it does the same thing for me. So I feel some degree of success with that. I also teach a workshop, which is called a Sacred Sound Workshop, and it's there that I actually work with people to explore their inner landscape and uncover their own authentic voice. Now, in this society, we are used to listening to the sound of other people's voices, and we don't even realize it. We internalize the sound of other people describing who we are to us. We take in so much sound vibration, and it programs our emotions, and it programs our response to our environment in a way that can be subconscious. What I do with breath and with focus in these workshops is help people turn their ears inside. And I start with a very simple exercise, which is called calling your own name. Very simple. I ask people to go to a quiet spot. And this is a workshop that I generally do at a festival that is outdoors. Go to a quiet spot and center themselves as best they can. And then out loud, call their name. And experience the vibration of the sound that they're making in calling their name. And follow that vibration as much as they can into their centers, into their feelings, into their emotional body, into their spiritual body, and see what they uncover. And it's amazing. It sounds very simple, but in doing it, you often uncover that you have not called your own essential core, your name, for years, if ever. If you may never remember truly calling your own name. What you hear instead is the sound of other people calling you. And when other people address you, they're sending messages in that sound that tell you who they are, who you are to them. It carries another layer of emotion and intention that you receive, but it may not be one that you're conscious of.
Now, so, wait a minute. I have to stop you there for a second because this is pretty deep, I'm telling you. So are you saying that many of us, you know, those of us who write songs or singers or songwriters, we may not even be singing in our own original voice?
Absolutely. One of the things that is usual when people sit with this exercise, and I have done it for, 15 years now at a large international women's festival. And it's a week-long workshop, so people have an experience to really go through a passage with it. But they discover that often the first voices that they're able to uncover are their caretakers, their mother, their fathers, or whoever took care of them in their young formative years. Because of the connection between the child and the caretaker, that voice gets imprinted very deeply. And along with the imprinting of the voice, there's a layer of emotion that gets imprinted as well. Some of the emotion can be very positive. It can be an imprint of a loving call. Some of the other things, though, may not be so positive in your psyche. There can be disappointment imprinted in the sound of your own name that you've absorbed from other people calling you. There can be anger. There can be a whole layer of emotional beingness imprinted into your core just by the action of you responding to the calling of your name.
Wow.
And so we often, we go through life and we talk, as Eleanora said, in this society, we talk a lot. We're very, you know, we think that in the emotion of talking and being active that we are engaged. But because we are engaged often with the imprinted responses, the imprinted level of emotional response, we lose track of the fact that we are not in contact with our own essential core and with our own essential voice.
Wow. This I'm just realizing how important what you're saying is, and I don't think I've ever really heard it said before, what you have just said, and it has such far-reaching implications, deep implications for so many people based upon, you know, what, how they first heard their name being called and in what context. And also, I need to bounce over to you again, Eleanor, because once again, I forgot to let you ask what is the first song you remember hearing. And then I go ahead and ask Aaliyah that question and then carry on with whatever she's talking about, I mean, what she's talking about right now, okay?
Okay, yeah. Well, that's really interesting. Anyway, what was your first song that you recalled? And can you remember way back?
I can remember. My earliest memories of sound and song are of being a small child sitting outside. My father built houses, and I would often go with him, and I'd sit in the sand that he was going to mix with the cement, and I would sing with the universe. So the world around me was like a big symphony. Mm-hmm. I would answer the birds' songs. They'd call, and I'd respond, and I'd have a whole thing going with them. The sound of the wind in the trees. The world was just alive with music for me as a child, and that was my first real experience with the living universe of music. The first song, though, I remember this clearly. It was a recorded song, and my father had, who was also, he was a musician. He was a blues singer, a piano player, blues singer. But he let me have access to this little record player that was my own so that I would not damage his. But but he had a large stack of like 45s. I'm sure people don't remember what those things are, those round plates. And I would go through them, and I put them on, and I put the needle on, and there was one song, and it was called Cast Your Fate to the Wind. And I don't remember who recorded it. And it was it started as just a piano solo. And it was just this breezy piano solo, and I would listen to it over and over and over again.
Yeah, it sounds like all three of us had these positive, you know, upbeat, you know, wonderful songs that we remember. But I'm kind of really going back to what you just said, because it's so true about your name. Just in my own process, you know, writing a book and just going through years and years of healing self and others, you know, I started out with the name Eleanor, but the suggestion that name had as a child kind of morphed into Olena. My mother called me Olena because it was Slovakian, and that sort of had a different feel to it, a deeper feel. And then when I started going to Peru, they started calling me Eleonora, and it just sort of, you know, caught, you know. That became my name because I became it, not because it was given to me. And it's just really a simple thing you just said, but very, very profound, you know, to sit there and just sing your name. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It is profound, and it's something. It's a little exercise that takes you a long way, because after you start, you latch on to the sound of your inner landscape, and you tune in to how we are programmed to give and receive sound.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you on an exploration that, for me, I think is the deepest one, and it takes you into the sound that we generate in this marvelous body that we have. And sound is so important because it's like the resonator for the chakras. It's the resonator for what's mm-hmm. going on in our physical body. It's the resonator for what's going on in our energy body and in our emotional body and our spirit, our soul. Our soul can sing through our voice, through the sound of our voice. So this exploration just goes on and on and on throughout your life. And, so I do this. I start anew with it every year.
Mm-hmm.
I freshen it up and start anew with it and see what I can uncover.
Well,
thank
great. Eleanor, did you have another question? If you do, go ahead. If not, I'm going to play a song from the CD In Full Circle. I'm going to play one that I like to play a whole lot, which is called What If I Told You? Mm-hmm. And I love that song. And on the CD, you say what the essence is of that song is about. So I just want to read these words. That time is not a fact, you see. And what if I told you what you think is real is all a dream? What if I showed you places that you've known before? What if I showed you what is waiting just beyond the door? Would you come? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play that, and then we'll be back with you, Aaliyah.
Time.
beautiful.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. Earlier we said, or I mentioned a quote that I got from a book by John Bo. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Bo Liu, Music and Sound in the Healing Arts. And he says, music is appreciation of sound, and all sounds are potentially music. And my question is sound limitless and boundless? Are there, and then if sound is limitless and boundless, there are no boundaries, it just, so much is available, infinity, is that also true of the music? We as songwriters, as singers, as creators of music, are we boundless too?
What a question. I think so. I think that, of course, music and sound vibration is boundless. Well, we're limited to the frequencies that we can hear with our physical ear. That can be expanded to sounds and what we can hear with our spiritual ear, which can be different. It's a different kind of frequency. But I think that it is a boundless proposition. I think that music and sound, the frequency of sound vibration, is interwoven into the life flow of the universe.
You know, actually, at this point, I think I'm going to open it up, our conversation, our discussion. So, Eleanor or Brenda, you're welcome to join the conversation or ask Aaliyah any questions or vice versa that you may have. But, you know, I was talking to a record producer from Germany, from Hamburg, 2 weeks ago on the show, Dennis Bonn, actually known as DJ Bone Breaker, who does dance trance music. He's very well known for that, sold millions of records. And, you know, it's, I have read that he was innovative with the kind of music that he created. And so many people want to try to be innovative as singers, as songwriters, to try to do something different. And I began to wonder, with so much of the music that we have historically, is there anything that's really fresh, new, and different that's happening? That's also why I asked that question about sound and the boundless nature of sound, and if that also applies to music. Is it possible to for any of us to create something totally innovative, fresh, and new now?
I'll jump in, and I'm Brenda here. I would say yeah. I think it goes both ways. I think there's a lot of old sounds coming forth, and I think that, you know, you can only combine sounds, I guess, in so many ways within pop music. But when you're talking outside of the realms of pop music and going into traditional music and going into just whatever comes through you when you're channeling music, then for me, my experience has been both. I have channeled songs that I absolutely know. In fact, people have told me I know that song, that live like thousands of miles away, not in this country. and it's a song that came through me. So I know that some of them are old songs, and people can feel it when they hear it. And then there are songs that come that are brand new, that are just different. And then the other thing is, depends on who's singing it, because the frequencies and the vibrational range that I have and the way that I sing a song isn't going to be the same. I could sing the exact same song as Aaliyah or you or anyone, and it's not going to be the same because I'm singing it. My intentions are different. My vibrational frequencies are different. How I'm feeling is different in the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was going to, thank you, Britt. I was going to comment on the fact that music carries intention. And a good example of that, for instance, Val, is when I was a child, I went to church with my mother. And the older women especially would sing pretty much the same hymns. But each week, that was a place where they expressed their hearts. Sometimes it was full of confusion or frustration or challenges that they were trying to break through in their lives. And in the words of a song, they could make every hair on your body stand up. their intention was so focused in the sound, in the vibration of what they were offering through the gift of that song, that it was fresh and new and unique and certainly not anything that anyone else could produce. And often they were not, you know, trained singers. They were people who were using that sound to carry the vibration of their soul's need. And that was so powerful to me, made, you know, such an impact on me, but also lets us know that that life that goes out in that breath, in that song, does live and it does travel through the generations.
Yeah, you took me back there. Thank you, Brenda and Aaliyah. Thank you. You took me back to church. And I grew up, Catholic first and actually Baptist and then Catholic and then Episcopal church due to my mother marrying an Episcopal priest when I was 12. And I can remember being in the choir and having the same experience that you just talked about, Aaliyah, where the older ladies in the church, they would have me in tears sometimes, singing, you know, songs that I've heard before. The same song, but and also depending upon who was singing it, it would have a totally different feeling, flavor, impact on me, you know, as a young person. So I can definitely relate to that, and I know that it's totally true, you know, what you're saying. Eleanor, did you want to say anything about this topic?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, music is, for me, music is organized sound. I mean, it's just like healing and, you know, working on someone, and there's lots of different energetic patterns, but it's up to the healer to sort of take what you need and what you don't need and mix them all together to come up with, to sort of like weave a fabric that's more health-bound and more holistic for the person. So, I mean, as far as we go and as far as we have gone, there'll always be music, and it'll always just be different combinations of sounds, intentions, consciousness. So, you know, I'm happy about that. But when I go out, I want to go back to that one sound, that one note. So that's the way I want to go out. With the one note. I think we all have a certain sound that we were born into. Just like we all have our own thumbprint, we have a sound that we vibrate to. So I'm sure there's a sound that we go out to as well. And I'm just going to connect with that and continue on my journey.
Well, very well said. Before time runs out, because we have 5 minutes left, sometimes I forget to ask the last long question because we just get going talking on about different topics and get really into a conversation. So I'm going to ask you, all three of you, and I'll ask you first, Aaliyah, to answer the question, then you, Brenda, and then you, Eleonora. What is the last song, or maybe even sound, what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth, if you have one? Aaliyah.
I think I want to hear the song of the universe the way I heard it as a child, just with the open heart and ears that I remember having as a child. That's it. The universe is singing all the time. I just want to be able to tune in to that song.
Beautiful. Brenda.
Similar, actually. I hear that. I hear that, the sounds of the universe. But I really heard it really deeply and saw it actually and felt it on levels I can't even explain in words, with something called I just called it universal love, because that's what it was. It was love. It was love, and I painted it to the best of my ability. But it was an incredible array of. I could see the vibrations moving. It was amazing. I could see the music. I could feel it. I could hear it. And it was shapes and forms moving, dancing around in front of me. And for me to experience that would be wow. because I've only experienced it once, and it was when I listened back to my meditation, my song that went with that, the song that came to me for that represented love, and yeah, that would be mind blowing.
Oh boy, that's beautiful. Now, Elle, you did already talk about a sound, but did you want to say anything about a song, a last song?
No, I think Aaliyah and Brenda both said it very well. I mean, just a place, a chant that, you know, lifts and lifts and lifts you up until you're part of that, until you drop your body and you're on your way to the next stage. So I don't know if it's a song. I don't see a song. I see more of a sound and chanting in that place. And birds and all of that. Sounds of nature.
Well, I must say that the three of you have just simply overwhelmed me. I'm practically speechless after this interview and after hearing what you have to say about your last song or your last sound. And it opened something up for me personally, because often, you know, I do these shows and you know, I'm so into asking the questions and making sure things move along and trying to, you know, help the guests to be comfortable, that I'm not actually thinking of myself at all and what I might need from the show or from the guests. But with the three of you and what you've contributed about, you know, the voice and not really having our true or real voice, you know, what you were talking about with that, and then also what you've just said about the last song that you'd like to hear, the last sound, just have me open to how much more I need or would love to experience that I have not, that you ladies have. And it encourages me, it gives me something to look forward to in these particular areas of my life. And I would just like to thank all three of you for your contribution to my life today through this show. And I hope that others who are listening have benefited, and those who will listen will benefit as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Val, for putting on such a lovely show, and my honor for meeting you, all three of you. And when I looked before at my clock, it was 4:44, so there's the four of us. So there you go.
Okay, now Aaliyah, I just want to let you know your phone number, 845-787-0408. Can people call you there for a workshop or connecting with you?
Yes, the other number, or the email, aaliyahlong@gmail.com will work. Aaliyahlong.com is a website. It's under construction, but it'll be up very shortly. Yes, and there is one other number, which is 845-401-5633.
Okay, I have 845-401-5633 for Aaliyah. And Eleanor, I have your number in there already. And Brenda, any number for you that you want me to put in the chat room?
416-519-SONG.
416. What was that?
519 song.
S-O-N-G.
Yeah, the numbers are 7664. 416-519 song.
Okay, great. And let's see, with that, we have 2 minutes remaining, and I think I'm just going to play our exit theme from here. Thank you again very much. And if you want to stick around, fine. We can check in with the after the show. If you ladies want to chat with each other a little bit more and exchange any other kinds of information about what you have going on, that's fine. What's going to happen is the live stream for this is going to cut off in 2 minutes. But what happens is the tape keeps rolling even though we're not live. And you know, so we can continue to talk. That gets recorded. Sometimes what gets recorded, I I post as a separate podcast because sometimes wonderful things happen that don't happen on the show that are beneficial. So I'm going to go ahead to the theme song, and then we can, if you want to get off, fine. If not, stick around, and we can check in with each other before we officially get off. Okay, so thank you, everyone, for listening to Sunday Brunch, the first and last song, here on Creator's Parrot Channel on Blog Talk Radio. I listen to everything, and not just to the music itself, but to the hearts behind it.